Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So what you're saying is, way too early future that we're going to play right now. Detroit Lions to make the playoffs in 2023. Or 2020, this upcoming NFL season.
We'll see how the draft goes. We'll see how the draft goes.
I think that's wise.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fast stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookson, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. Dangles, you're already chuckling. Dangles, you're already chuckling.
I am. It's the last 20 guys that we get to talk about here. How can I help but be happy? We've had a great time talking about the bottom feeders, the barely starters, and the stalwart backups. But now let's talk about the guys that make teams go. I'm pretty sure I would be interested to know where we rank Nick Foles the year before he went and won a Super Bowl, because we're starting to get into the territory of guys that aren't going to break the record books or make anything spectacular happen. But with the right guys around them, you know, who knows where you might end up.
30th.
I'm just ecstatic, Tony, that the team I root for, according to us, is top 20 quarterback. Love it. So I'm just over the moon.
That's true. Today, it's all about numbers 20 through number 11. These are playoff caliber quarterbacks, okay? This is the fourth edition of the 2022 QB list for the West Coast Gamblers, and we're getting into the nitty-gritty. The next episode that comes out obviously will be 10 through 1, but today we're talking about guys that aren't exactly Super Bowl caliber yet, but you're contending for the playoffs if you have one of these guys on your team. Before we get to that, though, the bottom tier starters, just to recap where we left off. Number 32, RIP Big Ben, you had a great run. Number 31 was Gardner Minshew. Number 30, Daniel Jones. Number 29, Tyler Huntley of the Baltimore Ravens. Number 28, Taylor Heineke of the Washington Commanders. Davis Mills came in at 27. Tua was 26. Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, 24 and 25. Baker Mayfield, somehow 23. Teddy Bridgewater, somehow 22. And Carson Wentz, number 21. We already gave away who number 20 was on last week's podcast. It was a little gift to the listeners, a little cliffhanger, because they came into the league together, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. And as Drew said, his Detroit Lions starting quarterback, Jared Goff, made the top 20 list. And it's good for Jared, man. This guy's been on this list every single year we've done this. The first time we did it was his rookie season. He came in as 31st overall that year. The highest he's been is the 11th best quarterback. That was their Super Bowl year. Last year he was 21. This year he's 20. Drew, I think, you know, out of all the people you could have running that awful Detroit Lions team in year one, it will only get better as these young guys get older, draft and develop the Dan Campbell method. Who knows if he's actually a good coach, but that team rallied around him at the end of the year. Jared Goff's a pretty good guy to helm that squad as you're looking towards the future here. You got to be happy with the trade you made with the Los Angeles Rams, even though that draft pick is 32 out of 32.
That's true, Tony, but I mean, I'm absolutely happy. And it's so funny, guys, if you take that first nine games of the Lions season and you kind of just forget about it. I know you can't do that in a literal world, but the second half of the season, Jared Goff, he played pretty good. And the Lions were 3-3 in their last six games. And you can have a much worse young core, all in rookie contracts, than Swift, TJ Hockenson and Amon-Ra St. Brown, who came on to be the fantasy darling last month of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jared threw for 3,200 yards and had 19 touchdowns versus 8 picks. And again, we saw this on the Rams, and I did think it was a little – I felt like people were piling on Goff a little bit during this playoff run with Stafford. And it just was weird because all that Goff ever did in L.A. when McVay got there was win. He just won all the time. He never won the big one, but this guy's a winning quarterback. And from what you hear about him in the building, he's a model citizen. He's a great leader. People like him. And it'll be interesting to see if they try to – draft his successor with that second first round pick or later in the draft this year. I'm in the opinion right now, I don't think they should. I think they should take their chances on next year's draft class. But I'm very happy about Goff, and I would love to see them take a flyer in free agency, maybe a DJ Shark, something like that, something like a low 1 year flyer on a nice deep threat for the Lions. Cause I do think, guys, I think their core is legit. I think their offensive line is one of their strengths. And I think Goff, I think he has upside, and I really believe I had him 22nd, but I'm thrilled, and I think he's legitimately a top 20 quarterback. I really do. Top 22, I guess.
Yeah, no, none of us had him individually in the top 20 rankings, and I should say, if this is the first time you listen to this, the way we make this list is each of the hosts here rates these guys number 1 through 62. Every QB that started a game in last year's season, we rank 1 through 62. Jake Fromm, congratulations once again. And then we combine those three lists to get what the ultimate list is. I had Jared 21st. Dangles had Jared 21st. You had him 22nd. Just so happens those numbers add up to the 20th overall quarterback. And I'm perfectly fine with that ranking. Dangles, I'll ask you, as a man who doesn't have Jared Goff leading your team, it does not seem Jared Goff is the QB of the future for Detroit. They will eventually draft a rookie to replace him as that full rebuild continues. Again, might not be this year, but it's coming. Do you think Jared Goff deserves to be a starter somewhere once he leaves Detroit? I think absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think I agree right with what you said, Drew, about, you know, where the Lions are at right now. Their MO isn't to win next year. You know, it's to win in the long term. It's to get to a position where they can be competitive in that division. And Jared Goff is a perfectly fine bridge quarterback to get you there. There's not a lot of talent in this year's class. I agree with you. They should hang out there. But Jared Goff has performed perfectly admirably, I think, given the circumstances that he is in without much of a supporting cast. You know, it's a bigger deal for Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? Like, he was literally I mean, I think he was not only his favorite target, but looking at PFF's annual quarterback sort of rankings, Amon-Ra was his favorite target in every key situation that they track: third downs, under pressure, versus blitz, in the red zone. It was Amon-Ra St. Brown. Part of that is because TJ Hockenson missed a bunch of time with injury, but still, you know, you got a young...
Thanks for reminding me, Dang.
You got a great young receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you have a guy who, you know, I would liken him to Teddy Bridgewater, except that Teddy Bridgewater makes far fewer mistakes than Jared Goff does, and he's much more careful with the football than Jared Goff is. But you could do a lot worse than Jared Goff as your starter for your team, especially if you are a team like the Lions that is in a bridge transition position where they're trying to build for the future. I do think he deserves and should get a starting job. He's a former number one overall pick. I don't think that ever can be overlooked.
And that's what I was gonna say,
and he's played in a Super Bowl. Sure, he didn't win it, but he's played in one. He's won playoff games. You know, he's played in major games like the Chiefs game on Monday Night Football. Like, he's done a lot of different stuff, and the numbers don't always show it, but you could do a lot worse than Jared Goff. You really could.
And the last thing I'll say about him is, yeah, the Teddy Bridgewater thing might be, I kind of can see that on the surface, but Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have a number one overall arm. I mean, to get drafted number one overall, you have to have some serious ability with your arm. He has that. And I do think we saw with the Rams for years, like, when the Rams team was good, he was good. And when the Rams team was okay, he was okay. And Lions team was bad. So in general, he wasn't that good this year. But as that team grows around him, and you're right, Tony, I don't think he's not going to be there in 5-6 years, but I do think he's like the ultimate bridge guy. And I'm really happy that the reports coming from inside the building are fantastic, and that means something nowadays. It really does. He doesn't get in trouble. He keeps his head down. He's good in the community. I have high remarks for Jared Goff.
So what you're saying is, way too early future that we're going to play right now, Detroit Lions to make the playoffs in 2023 or 2020, this upcoming NFL season.
We'll see how the draft goes. How's that?
I think that's wise.
Let's go to number 19 overall. This guy's also been on this list every time we've done it, and the highest he's ever been was the first time we did this list, 15th overall. Last year, he didn't play. The year before that, he was 17th. He falls to 19th right now, and I do believe he is a walking free agent. That man is Jameis Winston, number 19 overall. I'm unsure what his Saints contract is. I don't know if they're going to keep him. I don't know if they're going to go with Taysom Hill or somebody new. It's a whole new regime in New Orleans under Dennis Allen there. But number 19, Jameis Winston. This is a guy that, you know, if you strike out on the Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson sweepstakes, why would you not bring Jameis in to see if you have a quality team that can take him to the playoffs? I think Jameis is capable of doing that. Or do you think this 19th ranking will be the highest he'll ever achieve again, and he's on the downswing of his career? Because it's not like he exactly lit up the world with that New Orleans offense. Then again, he had no skill position players outside of his running back.
Tony, I kind of disagree with you. I think for all intents and purposes, he did light up that Saints offense. This is a guy who played seven games without Michael Thomas, with a banged up Kamara, like you said, limited offensive weapons. He threw for 14 touchdowns and had a passer rating of over 102. And again, I come back to it. You don't get drafted number one overall and not have insane ability. We're not talking about this journeyman third rounder who built himself up. No, this is one of the best high school recruits. He won a national championship at Florida State. He's the number one overall recruit. So I'm in that line of thinking, Tony. He's an easy target to get made fun of on Twitter because of his dumb workouts and his past, and I understand that. But
Yeah,
of course. I mean, it's low-hanging fruit at this point, you know, and his pregame speeches where he thinks about eating a crab as a W and all that nonsense, but loves stealing from Publix as well. However, I think that if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers and I have a choice, if I have a choice of drafting an unproven middle of the first round quarterback, or I have a choice of grabbing Jameis Winston, Tony, like you referenced, we're talking about Mason Rudolph in a previous podcast, I think it's a slam dunk for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bring him in on a 1 year with a 1 year club option. And with that running back, obviously got to get offensive line. I think a team like that would fit Jameis perfectly.
I'll tell you, as a Green Bay fan that still does not know what the future holds for my team, and we had Jordan Love in the 50s over here, if by some reason Aaron Rodgers is no longer my quarterback, and even if Devontae Adams sadly leaves us, I'd be fine running Jameis out there for the Green Bay Packers and seeing what he can do with that team on that Matt LaFleur offense. I'd be A-okay with that.
He was 5-2. As a starter for the Saints. He got knocked out of that the Buccaneers game that he ended, but all he did in the first three games of the season was torch the Packers 38-3 in that wacko game where he threw five touchdowns and the Packers couldn't figure out which direction was up. And then, you know, the next week they lost to the Panthers, who were on a tear at that time, but then the following week they went into New England to beat them. Like, that's, yeah. I mean, in the first 3 weeks, Jameis Winston did that. That's a guy who, crab legs or not, Publix or not, it seems at this point he has moved past or matured to the point where he's not getting into these situations anymore at the time of this recording. Well, who knows? Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, again, you know, you could do a lot worse. We talk about former number one overall picks that are going to get looks because of their ability and because this guy was a guy who, yes, he also led the league in interceptions that same year, but he's led the NFL in passing yards before. He commanded that Bucs offense when it was, like, just all pass, and he led the NFL in pass yards. There's something to be said for that, I think.
Well, and I do. You can see some maturity off the field dangles, but also it was very evident that Sean Payton definitely had training wheels and blinders on him even early in this season. He really hasn't. Jameis has never been in a situation where he's been able to completely let it rip yet. Whether that be schematic reasons or just trust issues with his head coach, you can tell he's playing a watered down version of himself, and he's still doing a good job. So I would just be curious if someone took the reins off him. It might be, hey, regardless if it's good or bad, it'll be entertaining. So free Jameis. Yeah. I'm with it.
Free Jameis. Number 18 overall. It's his second year on this list. Last year he came in at 28th, and we all had question marks whether Philadelphia made the right decision letting Wentz go and handing the reins over to Jalen Hurts. And we all had Jalen Hurts ranked right around here. You two had him exactly at 18. I had him at 17, and he's the 18th quarterback on this list today. The question is this his ceiling? Because as we saw in games where Philadelphia had to come from behind and pass the ball, Jalen Hurts could not get it done. But when Jalen Hurts is in that run-heavy offense and he's using his legs to make plays, he's a very tough quarterback to track down, and it's a very tough offense to handle. I don't know if this is his ceiling, but I believe he deserves this 18th overall slot. Dangles, what do you think about Jalen Hurts in Philly? Could it be just that he doesn't have any receivers to catch the ball other than Devonta Smith, which was a rookie last year?
I would like to see him with some more help in the wide receiving core. I really would, because I just it's hard to look past the raw talent that is there. He led, if I'm not mistaken, he led the league in quarterback rushing yards from the quarterback position this year.
Yeah.
He runs in a dangerous RPO offense that was one of the top rushing offenses in general, despite the you know, revolving door of running backs that they had due to injury and some other circumstances. I would really like to see what this kid can do with an actual offense. I don't think it's this year, but he's coming. It's coming up on contract time for him, if memory serves. And the Eagles are going to have to make a decision about, is this guy?
Yeah, he's
the
got 2 years left. Yeah,
so 2 years left. So it is. I mean, it's something that the Eagles are starting to think about, and now is the time for him to obviously step up and make a, you know, prove to them that he's worth paying down the line. But I personally would like to see him with more games under his belt and with better receivers and a healthier offense to work with. They've not had a great offensive line there over the last couple of years due to injury and, again, other things. But I think this kid has talent. He's shown it when through a lot of doubt, getting benched at Alabama and questions about his, you know, ability in the draft and falling a little bit because of that. So I don't know about you, Schaefer the Sharp, but I like Jalen Hurts. I want to see him succeed, and I think that he, you know, the question is it's kind of like with Lamar Jackson, right? Like, can he pass the same way that he can run? And we did see Lamar Jackson last season take a pretty big step as a passer.
Schaefer the Sharp, I did want to ask you about Jalen Hurts, because your list surprised me that you didn't have Jalen Hurts lower with how much. I mean, it's not like you bashed the guy, but I could tell you don't believe in him as a quarterback, and yet you had him 18th as well.
I did, and I do believe he deserves a top 20 label at this point, Tony, but I'm going to take the opposite stance of Dangles, and I think I'm selling all Jalen Hurts stock, and I do think this is a ceiling. I think what we saw in the playoffs, and yeah, he didn't have a lot of help, but what we saw... He's a quarterback good enough to get you into the playoffs, but I don't think beyond that he can do much. And I know that's not fair, because a Tampa defense completely obliterated just an inept Eagles team that first round. But, you know, you listen to guys that are smarter than you in this business a lot. And I know that, you know, scouts aren't crazy on Jalen Hurts. Bettors aren't crazy on Jalen Hurts. Yeah, he can do a ton of stuff in his legs. He's a fantasy all-star, right? I mean, he's literally a fantasy just stud. But I think in long term, like Dangles referenced, this guy got benched for Tua in Alabama. And where do we have Tua? We have him in the mid-20s.
Yeah,
know?
So 26.
I think it's more a reflection of great, by all accounts, you're not going to outwork the guy. He's an amazing leader, stronger than hell. But, I mean, to compare him to Lamar Jackson, who is not as fast, doesn't have good enough arm, I think it's a watered-down Lamar Jackson. I think it limits what you can do offensively. So
yeah, I'm not drawing a direct comparison. You know what I mean? Like, but just archetype that he is, and the guy, you know, the RPO offense with trouble passing the ball accurately.
What I'm trying to say is I think having him at quarterback limits what you can do offensively, because you have to build your scheme around him. And in today's NFL, that only works when you are a Lamar Jackson. That's my point.
Number 17 overall is the walking definition of this whole entire list, a playoff-caliber quarterback. But is he a Super Bowl-winning quarterback? He's been on this list all 6 years. The highest he's ever been is 11th. The lowest he's ever been was last year at 24th. This year he jumps up to 17th overall, even though a team drafted his replacement with the third overall pick. It's Mr. Pretty Jimmy himself coming in at 17th overall. Also a guy who is looking for a new team. We talked about, Drew, you talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Instead of going with that mid-round rookie, they should take a look at Jameis. Could you say the same about Jimmy G? We have him 17th, two spots higher. I think Jimmy is a serviceable guy. I just know that I'm not winning a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo unless I have an all-world team around him. He's not taking me to a Super Bowl himself.
I'm going to disagree with you, Tony Square. Schaefer the Sharp's going to play quarterback matchmaker here. We have Jameis Winston with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, has the ability to win a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts, with a world-class offensive line, with a world-class running back, and with good playmakers and a solid defense. I think if he's with the Colts, I think the Colts have a damn good shot to go to the AFC Championship. And I think if he's with the Colts, they certainly don't lose to Jacksonville in Week 18 in Florida. I think that, to me, if you're Frank Reich and you're moving on from Carson Wentz, I know there's contract issues, dead cap money you have to work out. for 1 year, I can't think of a better situation for Jimmy G to walk into than a run first
with
one of the best running backs in the league. And not only that, but some good deep threats in Michael Pittman Jr. Who knows if T.Y. is healthy, but you know, they should add in the draft, I would think, in that position. So I do think that's the one team where I do think Jimmy G could win a Super Bowl is with the Indianapolis Colts.
Dangles, you had Jimmy G ranked the highest, only 16th overall. Again, all the differences in this list aren't really that drastic, but Jimmy G, to me, he played for your Patriots. He was groomed by that New England culture. Yeah. I think this is right where Jimmy G belongs, but I don't think he'll ever get higher than this, in my opinion.
Probably not. I think we've seen... We know what his ceiling is. I don't think he gets much better. He can get you to the Super Bowl, right? He's done it once and nearly did it again this year. They were 3 points away. One Jaquiski Tartt interception, I guess I should say, away from getting to the second Super Bowl. I love that fit, Drew, because one of the things I think that Jimmy has struggled with for a lot of his career is, like, to me, he's always kind of been a bit robotic. Like, he won't do it unless you program him to do it. He doesn't heave the ball downfield unless it's like drawn up that way. You know what I mean? He's not a guy who takes chances. He's like the safest of the safe. Teddy Bridgewater is very safe as well, but like Jimmy G doesn't take chances on things. He won't throw the ball downfield unless he absolutely has to. Those deep options maybe give them some opportunity to scheme that up with that, you know, with the great offensive mind of Frank Reich. So I love that fit, but I don't think he gets any higher than this because again, he has hit his ceiling. You know, we talked about ceiling for Jalen Hurts, and maybe we still don't know what his ceiling is. Drew thinks we've hit it. I think maybe he still has some room to grow. Jimmy G, I think we can all agree, has hit his ceiling. We know exactly what he is and what he isn't. And, you know, it would take a great supporting cast around him to really, he's not going to win a Super Bowl by himself.
Personally, again, when we come to the Green Bay situation, same situation, I'd rather have Jameis over Jimmy G running my Packers, but that's just me. Number 16 overall. Listen, we've had rookies debut on this list pretty damn high. The highest we've ever had was Justin Herbert last year, came in as the 8th overall pick. We had Baker Mayfield coming in 10th, Joe Burrow coming in 13th, and this man is the 4th highest rookie we've ever ranked on this list. It's your quarterback yourself, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, and our Rookie of the Year loser, Mr. Mac Jones. Congratulations, Dangles. Congratulations.
It's great. I mean, look, again, it's... As you're going to see soon, Tony, the years that come in between a great quarterback leaving and a new era starting can be tumultuous. You know, we had to suffer through Cam Newton looking like it was the hardest thing he's ever done, throwing passes all season in 2020. And obviously this year, some growing pains with Mac Jones, but made the playoffs, won a bunch of different types of games, including the bizarro Bills game 14-10, where Belichick broke out the Navy midshipman offense from the 1940s and just ran it down Buffalo's throats. I think any team would be happy to have Mac Jones as a rookie. I don't think this year was an example of his ceiling. I think he can grow more. I would like to see us bring in an actual number one wide receiving target to give him somebody to truly throw to and develop a connection with.
It's going to be Jarvis Landry, Dangles. Just want to let you know now.
Whether we'll do
Jarvis
that,
Landry.
I don't know. Cap space is kind of at a premium for us right now in New England, so I don't really know after all that spending we did last offseason. So we'll see. I'm very pleased with his performance this year. How do you argue with a guy who gets your team to the playoffs when no one really expects you to? He's the final rookie drafted in that first round. I'm excited for his future. I can't wait to see, you know, what will be interesting is, you know, he's obviously now after his first year got to transition offensive coordinators. Yep. I think as far as places that you could be to
Joe Judge, baby.
Joe Judge is not going to be calling plays. We hired
him. He absolutely is calling plays.
Joe Judge is not going to be calling plays.
100%
going to
be calling plays.
Stop, Tony.
He's 100% going to be calling plays.
Regardless, this will be an interesting year to see him transition offensive coordinators. I do think New England is a great stable place for a young quarterback to do that, of all the places that you could be, just as far as how the structured franchise is structured around you. But I had him 14th. Maybe I gave him a little bit of some Homer love here, but I'm excited for the future, baby. I think this kid can, you know, maybe he's better outside of Josh McDaniels. Who knows? I don't know. I think we can only go we can only go up from here.
Speaking of training wheels like we had on Jameis, there were definitely some training wheels on Mac earlier in the year. I'd like to see it. I can't wait to see his second year. I'm excited to see his growth because I think he's a very good quarterback. Number 15 overall. Listen, he's been on this list every single year. The highest he's ever been is 12th. The lowest he's ever been is 19th. He lives in the teens. And he came in a tie with the 14th overall guy, but number 15 is Kirk Cousins. I don't think we need to say anything more or less about Kirk Cousins. This is who he is. He's the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. He's never taken you to a Super Bowl. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, 100%.
Yeah, you're right. It's just, again, he's kind of a statistic darling here, guys. I mean, he really puts up some nice numbers, and his metrics are good, but you can't trust him.
He already has his great playoff moment, right? Like, he's got
right.
it.
He's round one win, exactly.
He's authored it. He's a decent but overpaid quarterback. He's not going to typically put you in positions to lose, but he's not going to win when the lights are bright. He's proven he can't win when lights are bright.
Well, and we know... Very informative stuff by Matthew Collier in our preseason shows say he's not really that respected or liked. And so that leads me to think he doesn't have a lot of room for growth in this league. So you're right, Tony. Move on.
Number 14, the guy he was tied with, also a guy who's been on this list every year we've done it. In the year we started it, he was third overall in an MVP season. He's fallen pretty much every year till since then. Last year was the lowest he's ever been, 16th. This year he made a small rise to 14th. And I want to know, as the Falcons continue this rebuild under Arthur Smith, does Matt Ryan, who I believe is on the last year of a big money deal, does Matt Ryan have enough to take that Falcons team to the future? And or is he going to become a Matt Stafford type guy where he's traded to a contender and suddenly takes them into the playoffs? Does he even have that in him anymore? We have him as the 14th overall quarterback. It's the largest difference that we have today. Drew, you had him 13th. Dangles, you had him 17th. A four-spot difference. Again, not a huge difference, but the largest one we're going to have on the show today. I think Matt Ryan can absolutely be a Matthew Stafford type guy if he moves to a new team. I don't think he does it with the Falcons, but Dangles, I don't think you believe that.
I don't know that I do. I mean, I'm because it's a very interesting comparison, and I'm sitting here trying to think of like why, because my gut reaction to that, to say that if you get like Matthew Stafford, get him traded to a different situation and put the right guys around him and he could win a Super Bowl. And I'm trying to envision that. And for some reason, I can't. And I'm trying to figure out why that is.
Shave of the sharp, do you think he can?
You know, I was actually thinking about that as Dangles was kind of contemplating. I kind of have the same answer to the point. I will say, once again, he's 36. He's not a spring chicken. But not the number one overall pick, but again, third overall, big-time prospect, big-time college quarterback. I like playing this quarterback matchmaker game, but off the top of my head, I'm not sure what team would fit him that isn't just superstars. Like,
if he had
the Bucks last year, like let's say Brady wasn't on the Bucks and Matt Ryan's on the Bucks with all those guys firing on all cylinders, Gronk and AB when he's not crazy, and Evans and Godwin. Like, I think he would do well in that.
I think
he has a chance to win. I think he has a chance to win it all with that team.
I do too.
His team this year, obviously Calvin Ridley took a leave of absence, and Kyle Pitts was Kyle Pitts.
Exactly.
But beyond
his,
that, I mean,
his number one receiver was Russell Gage this year. He was not throwing to all-star NFL players. He just wasn't.
I think you have a very small window with him because of his age. I think he has about 3 years of good football in him, and I think Atlanta would be nice. It'd be nice of them to try to find a trade partner with someone. Like, maybe if Russ leaves Seattle, could he go to Seattle and get the ball to DK?
I think he'd dominate in Pittsburgh. I think he would dominate in Pittsburgh. I really do. You need a better offensive line. No matter who plays for Pittsburgh, they need a better offensive line. He's not mobile.
That's my thing, you know. I guess for me, it would be hard to, as a GM, to give him the Tom Brady treatment, like sign him at any cost, because and just put a good offensive line around it, because I haven't seen the results. You know, they made the playoffs a couple of times. They got to the Super Bowl that one year, and then, of course, choked it up and lost. But like, I haven't seen. He's a prolific stat guy, but he hasn't win when it's counted. And now neither has Matt Stafford. And then again, you know, you coming back to that, you put him in Los Angeles, you put studs around him, you mortgage the future, and you win that year.
Yeah.
He can do that. And honestly, you know, Matt Stafford's 2 years, just 2 years younger than Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan's a more careful quarterback, I think, than Matthew Stafford is. So, like, by all those metrics, you know, I've almost talked myself into this idea that Matt Ryan, you know, maybe could go win somewhere else.
I think he could. Number 13 overall is a guy that I don't think could win somewhere else. Because I should say this, I haven't said it yet. Number 16, Mac Jones, was the third QB on this list to play all 17 games. Matt Ryan also played all 17 games this year. And I think that's a huge stat because you need a guy to be there on your team because you see when the backups come in how low they rank. And number 13 overall, I will say, I don't think he's a guy you can trade to the Rams and win a Super Bowl with him, but he played all 17 games this year and was pretty much the only starter on either side of the ball that played all 17 games for the Tennessee Titans, and that's Ryan Tannehill. He's been on this list a bunch. Last year was the highest he's ever been, was 12th. Now he's 13th, but I think we saw that Tennessee's not winning a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. It doesn't matter how good that defense is at getting to the quarterback. It doesn't matter how dominant that run game is, no matter who's back there. That O-line is awesome. I don't think Tannehill can take you to a Super Bowl. Does Tennessee need to move on? Because their window is now. Derrick Henry's not going to be around forever. Their window to win is right now. Does Tennessee need to get in on this QB sweepstakes? Or do you think Tannehill is going to stay there and continue to run this ship to the AFC divisional round and then get bounced?
I think it's one of the biggest questions in the offseason, to be honest with you. I don't have a clear answer. I mean, there's definitely some recency bias. You know, you remember the last thing you saw, and the last thing we saw from Tannehill was not good.
No.
And that pick was, I mean, it's a season-ending pick, right? I mean, that's what it is. It's a season-ending interception that he did not need to throw.
No.
That was the big thing. Yeah. They weren't down. They were tied. You know, like, you can't make that throw. Obviously, all their offense is predicated on King Henry. But, you know, King Henry isn't the Energizer Bunny. I mean, there's got to be some tread on tires at some point.
Yep.
All the Sharps think it's the upcoming year. Just hasn't been to this point. But, you know, science and body breakdown, eventually he can't be the same King Henry he's been the last 3-4 years, you know? So I don't know. I mean, it's a classic question. If not Tannehill, then who? Like, who's an upgrade? Like, what
exactly
would be available to them in an upgrade?
We have him. We have Tannehill as the 13th overall guy. Who is right. the upgrade? But again, that question remains: can you win a Super Bowl with the 13th best quarterback? Dangles, what do you think? Tannehill 13. Do you think Tennessee needs to make a change, or can they win with this team?
I don't know that they can. I mean, they can win with the I don't know if they can win with Brian Tannehill. He's another guy I think we've seen the ceiling of. He has been solid as a runner. He was more solid as a runner this year, I will say. He was able to do a lot with his legs, but the injuries didn't help. And obviously, I mean, look, you know, when we had our friend Austin Huff on at the start of the season to talk about the Titans, I asked him if he was concerned about the curse of 370, which is Football Outsiders' premise that the season after a running back has 370 carries, he either suffers a severe injury or a deep regression. And obviously we saw Derrick Henry suffering the former of those two things that I just mentioned, with a serious injury that cost him the majority of the season. And, you know, probably, you know, it makes a lot of people wonder what could have been. So he too is, you know, and a lot of those running backs decline after that point as well. So we'll see what happens. You can't feed this guy 300 times a year, like Drew was saying. Just eventually the body gives up on you. Like, eventually he's gonna have to be a creator, not a facilitator. Like, all he's shown me at this point is that he is able to run an offense that relies heavily on the run and that can beat you deep, you know, if you get too focused on beating stopping Derrick Henry. But I don't know that he is much more than that. I'm sure we'll be talking about, you know, some, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how realistic this is, but, like, could Russ fit in Tennessee? Russ on that team? Could he give him a chance to win? I guess it depends on how much good football you think Russ has left in him. And I'm sure we'll talk about that whenever we get to that point. But I don't know if it's time to move on, because, again, if not Tannehill, then who? But I do think we've seen the ceiling of Ryan Tannehill.
Number 12 overall. Again, only two more guys on the show today. The next show we do will be 10 through 1. But number 12 overall. This is a guy who's been on this list 3 straight years. He was 11th his first year, 10th his 10th his second year, and last year he's 12th now, and it's Kyler Murray. Listen, Dangles, you had him in your top 10. You had him 9th overall. Drew and I did not. We don't know what the ceiling is of Kyler Murray. We don't even know if he's going to be on the Arizona Cardinals next year with all the social media stuff that has gone on with that organization, all the immaturity stuff that we're hearing from sources that I put in air quotes, a.k.a. the team itself leaking that Kyler Murray is not a mature candidate in the locker room. My question is whether he's on Arizona or not. If you're leading your team, my Green Bay Packers, your New England Patriots, your Detroit Lions, if they were playoff contenders, does Kyler Murray have a chance to, with his skill set and with his lack of some type of throws in the NFL game, do you think Kyler Murray can take you to a Super Bowl? Because so far from what I've seen, I am not convinced that he can. I don't think he's I won't say he's not durable, because he played all 17 games, all 16 games the first two seasons he's played. He's played.
It'd be fair to say that, though.
He's played all 16 games. This is the only year he's missed games. But I'm not sure that Kyler Murray I trust to take me to a Super Bowl. Is he going to give me a year worth of highlights? Absolutely. Is he going to win me games by undeniable athletic prowess? Absolutely. I just don't think Kyler Murray guarantees me to be a Super Bowl contender just by being on my team. Maybe I'm alone in that, but we do have him 12th for a reason.
Yeah, I give him a little bit of a pass because of his coach. I don't think
you think it's a coach thing?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't think Cliff Kingsbury is bringing out the best in Kyler Murray. Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. But saying that, it's so funny. I think I've said this on the pod before. My dad has watched like 4 to 5 games of national TV when Kyler Murray plays, and whenever he watches him, my dad's like, this is the worst quarterback in the history of football. Like, he's watched him play some of his worst performances. No, it's amazing. We call it the Fred curse. Whenever Fred watches Kyler Murray on live TV, he's embarrassingly bad. The reason I'm saying that is because during those games, I'm watching him like, oh, he looks tiny. He looks jittery. He looks like, you know, his legs move a million miles an hour. He's just very nervous, you know? And I don't know. It's interesting because obviously this is a guy that was a high-end baseball prospect, Heisman Trophy winner. But, you know, that size is no joke. And as we've seen with durability stuff, with big running backs, small quarterbacks can take the same type of beating. I am worried about his long-term durability, Tony. But it's going to be very interesting to see what this year holds for him in Arizona. And I would like to see him under the tutelage of another coach at some point to really make a fair assessment.
Mm. Dangles, what do you think, buddy? Kyler Murray.
I mean, for me, this was, yeah, you mentioned I had him inside my top 10. I did. I had him at number 9, and it was tough because it's like, you know, you start getting to this point and you're like, well, who am I supposed to put before him? You know, before they lost, they won like 7 straight games or something like that. You know what I mean? Like he had a great showing out and look, I mean, to your point about, yeah, I mean, look, if Antonio Brown is going to get chance after chance after chance with his maturity level, I think they will make some excuses for Kyler Murray to take a chance on the skill set that he brings. And I agree about the coaching
thing.
I think
it's a little bit different. I think it's a little bit different when it's the quarterback. The quarterback needs to be the leader on the team. A wide receiver can be a diva. A wide receiver can be like an outcast on a team. The quarterback needs to be the one everyone rallies around.
Yes, but I still think the skill set is comparable. Obviously, Antonio Brown was a more prolific receiver than Kyler has been a quarterback when he got his second, third, fourth chances. Antonio Brown, that is. But, you know, Kyler has also kind of personally tried to sort of refute that. So I guess, part of it depends on who you believe, right? Mm. You know, do you believe the Arizona Cardinals and people inside that organization, or, you know, is that just smoke?
It's a weird situation.
It is a very weird situation. I know he's a guy that I certainly wouldn't be mad to have on my team. 5'8", regardless, his skill set is undeniable. He's 5'8", but we've seen what he's my height.
He's 5'6", 135 pounds.
We've seen what he's able to do with an elite receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. We'll see.
He can't be 5'8".
He's not 5'8".
He can't be
5'8".
5'8". He
can't
be 5'8".
I'm looking this up right now.
Dangles,
I love
you're
Brett Green,
taller.
But that's Brett Green running around down there. Imagine
Dangles,
Brett
you're not taller than Kyler Murray.
I said he's the same height as me. I never said I was taller than him. He's 5'10". I thought he was shorter than that. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, he's 5 foot.
He's 5'10" and a helmet. That's what it is.
He must be. Helmet. I don't know. He
looks
like
a bobblehead out there.
Look, you know, I'd still be happy to have the kid on my team. I would like to see what he can do, not under Cliff Kingsbury.
Number 11, the last guy we're going to talk about on this list.
Real quick, what about Kyler? Sorry, Tony. He's got one of the funniest resting faces under his helmet ever. When he gets mad, he's kind of pouty. Just kind of like walks off very pouty-like.
This
will
be great
that?
For the people listening on Spotify.
Number 11, the last guy we're going to talk about on this list today came in a tie with the man who's number 10. I'm not going to reveal who number 10 is. But the reason why the guy we landed at number 11 landed here is because individually we go off of the individual rankings. And myself and Dangles both had this man exactly at number 11. He's been on this list 4 years in a row. Last year he was 7. The year before that he was 3. And none of those years did he start all 17 games for his franchise. When you're talking about the best ability is availability, Lamar Jackson has yet to finish a year where he starts every game for his team. And last year, I personally had Lamar Jackson at number 11, and you guys lambasted me when we talked about it. But I think it's been proven. I think Lamar can get you to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying – I think Lamar is the first guy we're talking about that I think is a Super Bowl contending quarterback. But there is a reason he's not in my top 10, and it's because of the way he plays does not lead you to a 16-17 game starter. I think he has all the tools to do so. And I think I also think Baltimore is some of the worst wide receivers in the league. But can Lamar win you a Super Bowl? And do we have him one spot too low? And does he deserve to be on next week's episode? Schaefer the Sharp, you had Lamar as your 9th overall quarterback.
Yep.
Does Lamar deserve to be on the next episode, or is 11th his true spot?
I think when you look at win percentage since 2018, Lamar Jackson comes in number 2 overall. Regardless of his playoff acumen, he's a top 10 quarterback. I firmly believe he's a top 10 quarterback. I had him at 9. That's where I think he should. I will say, you know, I referenced this before. After my top 7, I thought 8 through 12 were pretty fluid. I thought you could make an argument flip-flopping any of my guys 8 through 12, and I want to, you know, I'm not going to like lambaste you for having 11 this year, Tony, because obviously, he got hurt. The Ravens kind of plummeted, and that was that. But Lamar brings a skill set that is still unique in football. It just is. And I do think, you know, as Dangles referenced earlier, he has developed a little bit as a passer. I think with a healthy Lamar, I think the Ravens still are a dangerous team and a Super Bowl threat. I know he's had some playoff shortcomings, but in my head, he's still a top 10 quarterback. He's still someone as the Ravens franchise can build around and should build around for the future.
Dangles, you had him at number 11. Why is Lamar Jackson not in your top 10?
I mean, he could be. Like, he very well could be. You know what I mean? He has that potential. We're kind of splitting hairs when we get down to this point here. But, I mean, he, you know, and I will say, to his credit, you know, he started only 12 games, and he still came in 3rd in rushing yards among quarterbacks behind Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. I mean, this was a tough year for him to perform with a decimated offensive line and a backfield in a position where he basically, like, I mean, I think he was just – I think this year he was expected to throw a lot more.
Especially with his third-string running back starting
week 1.
That's
what I mean. That's what I mean, that they were so just injury-riddled at the running back position. Before the season even started, they had lost J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. And then they had more injuries. And Devonta Freeman came in and performed pretty well for them toward down the stretch. But him being asked to – and he only threw for, what, almost 3,000 yards, 2,882 yards, 16 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. That's the other thing that has to improve for him, for me, is he has to not turn the ball over so much. I think if you look at his turnover-worthy plays, numbers on PFF, they will come in pretty high.
Maybe if he wasn't throwing a 5'8" Marquise Brown or whatever his name is.
Well, on that front, there was some, I think you know, some progress on, you know, for that this year, in the sense that Rashad Bateman, once he got healthy, was decent.
Yeah.
For his first year. And then
Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in the game.
Exactly. So, you know, again, we've seen that he's able to improve his passing, right? We crushed him in 2019 for not being a good passer. And then in 2020, he had a great season passing the football. And this year he regressed, and I'd like to think that maybe part of that is because, and this year, and the reason he's on my 11th this year, you know, is because he had a bit of regression there. I think he could easily be in the top 10, and we're having a different conversation years down the road where they have more stability, not only at running back, but offensive line as well, and where they've got maybe a more developed Rashad Bateman, or if Marquise Brown maybe shows up and actually is like a stud, because so far he's just kind of been like, okay, good.
That is it for numbers 20 through 11. The next episode, we're going 10 through 1, including the man who beat Lamar Jackson out in that tie to make the 10th spot, including something that's never happened in the history of this list, and that is coming up on the next episode. But for today, for Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, for Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and my name is Tony Cavallo, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.